Hi all, it's Reverend David here. We had a glitch with the recording this morning, so I'm doing a short re-record, including some prayers, the Bible readings, the message. So let us pray. Most Holy God, as we gather on this day, and as we remember your great gift of love and grace to us, may we come close to you with reverence and with joy, knowing that in the light of this new year, your great light, Jesus, the Word made flesh, will shine upon each dark day, the light of mercy, grace, and peace. May we draw closer in your presence. Lord, we bless your holy name. Amen. I'll include a couple of hymns here, and these hymns come from a resource that I often used back in my previous days as a aged care chaplain, and it comes from spiritual elder care. So just to give the credit to that spiritual elder care, and who make these available for use in various contexts, but certainly within that aged care context. But I use these. First one is for the beauty of the earth, and then a bit later on we'll finish with joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Prayer of adoration and a prayer of confession, and then affirmation of forgiveness. We pray. Gracious God, our hearts rejoice in your presence as we give you our thanks and praise, for you are the fulfillment of all of our searching. Since time began, you created all things. You have had this plan of unfolding salvation, hidden in the mystery through the ages, to draw all into one body in and through Christ, and to share with your people your promises of glory. And now the light has risen, the mystery is made known, your Son Jesus revealed to the whole world as Saviour and Redeemer, and as the King who reigns in justice and peace. You made him known in the word of the angels to the shepherds, and then to the Magi who travelled from the east and came to pay him homage, though they knew of him only what the silent stars could tell. And now you draw us again to the feet of Jesus, the crucified and risen one, to offer our gifts of praise to the light of the world, and to bring the confession that we have obscured that light in our lives and that of others. For when we have thought of ourselves too highly or too lowly, O Lord, when we have thought of others too little or too much, when such thoughts have informed and influenced our actions, forgive us. And do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from us. For when we have prioritized the trivial and mundane, for when we have ignored the things of life and love, for when we have been too easily distracted from what truly matters, O Lord, forgive us. For the pain and suffering of the world, for the actions and inactions that lie at its root, for the failure to learn from historical mistakes, Lord, forgive us. For all those situations and circumstances that have left us hurt, bruised, and disappointed, God, help us to forgive as we are forgiven. We bring all of these confessions before you, confident of your generous mercy, resting in your steadfast love, and trusting in your constant faithfulness. With thanks and deep gratitude, we pray. Amen. The scriptures assure us again and again of God's grace and mercy in verses such as in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we hear the good news is that it is in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And may the peace of the Lord go with you. Amen. A reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, from verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of our Lord. praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer before the message for today. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Australian cricket selectors for some time have been seeking a consistent long-term opening partner for Usman Khawaja, at least leading up to the Ashes series. Over the last couple of years, the selectors have tried various options. Steve Smith opened for a little while, Nathan McSweeney, Marnus Labuschagne, Sam Constance, and Jake Weatherall, who's the incumbent opener for this series. But then early in the Ashes series, Usman Khawaja developed back spasms and couldn't play. And so Travis Head was elevated up the batting order to open the innings. He'd opened before in the shorter form of the game, and in a test match, I think it was in the subcontinent, he did that. But this was different. He went on, having been elevated to opener, he went on during the series, which has just concluded, to score 3 centuries and is a shoe-in to keep that role as opener for some time, I would think. So the answer that the Australian selectors were looking for was right under their noses. It was hidden in plain sight, as it were. And this hidden in plain sight, I want to just reflect on a little bit, and it'll come up a few times in the message. To Isaiah chapter 60, and the word spoken during in Isaiah 60 and in and around this time was spoken during some dark days for the people of Israel. They had lived in exile in Babylon for decades, and finally they are able to head home. But life for them back home was very grim indeed. Jerusalem lay in ruins, crops were failing, and they were being given a really tough time by their neighboring nations around them, heavily taxed, and the temple which they looked to rebuild was a shadow of its former glory. There was so much struggle for them and disappointment. No one from the nation of Israel, returning from exile there, could see a bright future. Only darkness, really. And that's the words that we hear Isaiah speak. I'm not telling you anything new to say that we live in interesting times. Many would say that we live in deeply troubling times. And actually, I get that. Events of recent times have brought an unease to many of us about what sort of communities we are building in Australia. At the men's lunch last Friday, and men's lunch is a place where we get to solve many of the world's problems, or at least hope to do that maybe. But last Friday at the men's lunch, we found some of us talking about some of these things, really. And in my words, some of us, as we shared in that, tried to make sense of recent events in Australia, not just those in Sydney prior to Christmas, but really over the last couple of years or so. And then as I got into the car and began to head off, my mind turned to not only events here in Australia, but back about Gaza, Ukraine, the recent uprising in Iran, the USA and all that's been happening there, including the actions taken in Venezuela this last week or so, and all this talk about Greenland, of all places, and try and find the significance of that. It's been interesting to look into. Read a really interesting Facebook post by Pablo Nunes. And he is from Uruguay. And although I didn't know it when I first read it, it was only after a colleague of mine reposted this that he said that Pablo is going to be the next moderator of the Uniting Church in New South Wales. A really interesting background. As I said, he came from Uruguay as a child and knows something of the experience of Venezuela. And he reflected on what had taken place there and some of the complexities of that. But it was kind of entitled, or what he was looking at was When Dictators Fall and Christians Don't Know Where to Stand. So he was reflecting on this tension that he felt between what he saw as this dictator being removed who was oppressing the people and some of the rejoicing that Venezuelans were experiencing. But on the other hand, how it was done and this foreign government that comes in, and he was trying to work through this tension of these two things. A really interesting read. Happy to pass that on to whoever is interested. But I imagine if you go somewhere, if you're on Facebook, to go Pablo Nunes, N-U-N-E-Z, you can probably find it there. Kate Bowler, I read something that she posted just this last week. Kate Bowler is a professor at Duke University in the US. She's a podcaster, an author, and she offers a lot of Christian resources. And I find myself from time to time looking at some of these resources that she provides as a Christian person on living life within often the stark realities of life. Kate Bowler posted a video recently where she reflects briefly on the start of a new year in America and of how this last week or two has felt like, and I quote, the decline of democracy, the erosion of norms and humanitarian ideals, and for people to exercise citizenship uninterrupted, that it's really hard to have this usual January New Year experience of wanting to be a different person when at the same time you feel confusion, disorientation, and despair. It was a really interesting video to watch her reflect on this. Folks, we need to keep praying for the US, but also for this nation of Australia, and especially as the Royal Commission gets underway in due course. In those dark days of Isaiah 60, the prophet stands up. All of Israel may see only struggle and darkness, but the prophet Isaiah sees something else. We discover that the prophets in the Old Testament do this. In fact, they always saw something different to what was happening around them. They listened to God, and this is what they did. They were ones who listened to God and were God's messengers. So they listened to God as God said to them, this is what I am doing. This is what I've done in the past. This is what I'm doing now. And this is what will be. This is what I will do in the future. Isaiah listened to a different voice than the voices that he was hearing around him. He stands up and says, rise, shine, for your light has come. Thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. You see, God doesn't leave us in a dark place. God is always reaching down to lift us up. The psalm that we had today was Psalm 146, and it talked about giving praise and glory to God, but recognizing that God is the one who cares for and looks after the fatherless and the widow and the oppressed. See, God is always reaching down to lift us up. Missy Buchanan, in reflecting on that verse in Psalm 23 that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," Missy Buchanan says, "If there is a shadow, there must be light." And when I first read this insight, I thought, that is extraordinary. That if there's shadow, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if there's shadow, there must be light. And as we look back at that verse with Christian eyes, we say, yes, there is light. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." The Magi in Matthew chapter 2 that we heard followed a light, a star through the darkness. And what does Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3 say? "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Verse 6, "And all from Sheba will come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." The Magi, as we hear in Matthew chapter 2, arrive at the palace of the current political king, King Herod, a vicious, cruel despot. This is the time that Jesus, the Word made flesh, as we heard last week, this is the time that Jesus comes into the world when Herod was king. Matthew tells us that Jesus came to rule, to govern. His ruling, the way that Jesus would govern, his kingship was completely different. We heard something about that on Christ the King Sunday back before Advent. And again, we look through the Gospels and Jesus is saying things like, "I came to serve, not to be served." And many other examples that we could point to. Isaiah 60 says, "The nations will come, kings will come with their gold and frankincense." And we have here the Magi rocking up with gold and frankincense and one other. They arrive with myrrh. And myrrh. Myrrh is associated with darkness, with death. It's used for the anointing a body after death. I mean, Christmas was only a couple of weeks ago. Now, death, it's a bit of a downer after the positivity of Christmas, surely. But you see, we can't escape it. Myrrh, death, Christmas, the death of the two-year-old boys at the hands of evil Herod, Easter, all of it. This is why Jesus came, to identify with us, to be one with us in our suffering. Not only be one with us in our suffering, but to envelop it and to envelop us, to redeem us, to ransom us into and by his own suffering, death, and resurrection. The child that the king sought after, the child the Magi sought, and so many others, was hidden in plain sight. He was there in a small little village with ordinary villagers, Mary and Joseph as his parents. The light of the world was hidden in plain sight. And now kings and foreigners come and bow down to him. You see, when I ponder events nationally or internationally over the last week, over the last 3 weeks, the last 2 years, my mind and heart come back to this. Jesus is the answer. Now, that might sound cliched, it might sound trite, but I believe this with all of my being. A relationship with Jesus changes our heart. We need our minds changed, yes, but it is a heart change that impacts the world. including our little world of connections and relationships. People can try all the self-help books ever written, all that they want to read, and there might be some improvement in our outlook, but what we need is this deep down transformative work on our very being, on our identity, our motivation, our character. That is what a life with Jesus brings. As people search for peace and reconciliation in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of people, the answer is hidden in plain sight. It's Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. As we heard last week in John chapter 1, that here the Word became flesh, we see His glory, that of a Father's glory, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and someone who's full of grace and truth, that in Jesus is this beautiful balance between truth on one hand, that's prepared to call things out when that's necessary, and on the other, full of grace, the grace of God, and these two things are so beautifully lived out in Jesus, full of both truth and grace. William Wilberforce, as I have told a little bit of his story before, but William Wilberforce entered the English Parliament in, I think it was about 1770, thereabouts, at the ripe old age of 21. He was 21 when he enters the English Parliament. And he did so to accomplish, he says, nothing more than his own glory. He said that no purpose, he said that he had no purpose other than this. And I quote, he said, "My own distinction was my darling object, my own distinction." When he first started, no purpose apart from developing his own glory. A few short years later, traveling to Europe, doing some reading, he converts to Christianity. He becomes a Christian, and it is profoundly impacted. Now he sees purpose. Now he resolves to endeavor, and I quote, "to endeavor from this moment to amend my plan for time. I hope to live more than heretofore to God's glory and for my fellow creatures' good." Now he has purpose. This purpose now is to live for God's glory and for the betterment of those around him and indeed his fellow human beings. One writer says this: "William Wilberforce's newfound faith played a crucial role in shaping his views on social justice and human rights. He believed that his faith called him to actively engage in promoting moral and social reform." End of quote. Wilberforce's his life's work becomes the abolition of the slave trade. And over the years that follow, he has some victories here and there, takes an act to Parliament. One year, it doesn't pass. Next year, this continues until finally in 1833, 3 days before his death, slavery was outlawed across the British Empire. You see, here was a deep, transformative change of heart and mind that impacted not just this individual's life, but the world. And lastly, I want to share this thought. From time to time, again, I talk of Mark Hurd and his music. Mark Hurd was an American Christian singer and songwriter. He wrote a song called "Strong Hand of Love" back in 1990. In the chorus, he writes, "We can laugh and we can cry, and never see the strong hand of love hidden in the shadows. We can dance and we can sigh and never see the strong hand of love hidden in the shadows. In other words, amidst the daily realities of life, the love, the grace, the mercy of Jesus is hidden in plain sight. And it's there for those who see and hear and are open to it. The love, grace, and mercy of Jesus hidden in plain sight. And may the grace of God go with you. Amen. Today, for this re-recording of the service and for the prayers for others, I simply want to use a prayer that comes from a prayer book for Australia, so from the Anglican Church, and this is a prayer. The actual prayer for Thanksgiving and intercession was led by Wendy today, and a really wonderful prayer that she led, and it would be great to get a copy of that, if you want, because it's a really wonderful prayer that really picked up on a lot of very significant things that are happening across this nation and world. And so I encourage you to contact her if you're able to do that and to seek a copy of that. In the meantime, we will try and get a copy of that and make available. I'll leave this prayer from a prayer book for Australia. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you hear us as we come in faith. Please receive the prayers that we offer. Please guide with your wisdom and power the leaders of the nations so that everyone may live in peace and mutual trust, sharing with justice the resources of the earth. Give the people of this land a spirit of unselfishness, compassion, and fairness in public and private life. Lord, send out the light and truth of your gospel. Bring people everywhere to know and love you. Enable those who minister among us to commend your truth by their example and teaching. May we gladly receive and obey your word. We commend to your fatherly care, merciful God, all who are in sorrow, sickness, discouragement, or any other trouble. Give them patience and a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who care for them and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you for all your servants whose lives have honored Christ. Encourage us by their example so that we may run with perseverance the race that lies before us and share with them the fullness of joy in your kingdom. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
To the sun above.
a blessing. May your light shine before others this week, that they may see the good things you do and give honour and glory to your Father in heaven. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be yours now and forevermore. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.